John 18:28-40. I've been speaking, this is the third discourse, I've been speaking on 1 Timothy 6:13, really. Christ making the good confession before Pilate. And I've done it in three discourses. First, the person of Christ. And secondly, the office of Christ. And now the kingdom of Christ. And I'm speaking particularly here of verses 36 and verse 37. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You're a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Pilate goes on, of course, what is truth, and so on. But I want to concentrate on verses 36 and 37. Christ is a king, and Christ has a kingdom. Now, this is a very, very important section. And it's a section of Scripture which is so largely, overwhelmingly, being forgotten, ignored, or even contradicted by believers for centuries, for 1800 years now. What am I talking about? Christendom, invented by the fathers, drawing the state and the church together. Constantine, Theodosius, but the fathers in particular, forming Christendom. And even to this very day, even to this very hour, this very moment that I'm speaking, believers are adopting the principles and adapting the cause of Christ and the gospel to the system that is known as Christendom, the Great Babylon. And it's a grievous, grievous thing. The words of Christ stand directly against that. And, of course, the apostolic emphasis and enforcement of these principles is all against this Christendom. Nonsense, but it's more than nonsense. It's appalling, dangerous, sordid corruption of the gospel. Christ is a king. Pilate latches onto it. And a king has a kingdom. A king has subjects. And the word we must use and cluster around this notion, this idea, this concept of kingdom, are words like rule, governance, authority, dominion, law, reign, royal prerogative, crown rights, and so on and so on. Jesus is the king, and his people are the subjects of his kingdom, and they're under his law, governance, rule, authority, dominion, royal prerogative. He has the crown rights. He reigns. He is the king of the church. He is the king of believers. He is the king of the gospel. It's his gospel, it's his cause, and his name must be glorified. I say many Christians have forgotten these principles or compromised them. My kingdom is not of this world. It's separate from this world. It's from another place. It's a spiritual kingdom, a holy kingdom, a righteous kingdom, a godly kingdom. Above all, as I say, spiritual heavenly kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. Well, that's the problem. So many Christians have fought and are still fighting, some with arms, some with politics, some with war, some with magistrates, some with law, some with the state and all its support. And it's all contradictory to what Christ says here. Some New Covenant teachers are speaking in a way, I'm sorry to say, they give the impression, I'll put it that way, give the impression that the written law of Christ, there is no such thing. It's an inward law. But Christ's law is both inward, spiritual by his Spirit, and written in Scripture. And believers are under Christ as King, and he is King through his word and by his Spirit. It's not either or, it's both. Now Christ speaks of the servants of his kingdom, his servants, my servants. He speaks of those, in verse 37, of everyone who listens to me on the side of truth. My servants, he says in verse 36. And this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, not a carnal kingdom. And therefore Christ's servants are spiritual. And those who listen to him are spiritual. And of course we've had this brought to us time and time again in John's Gospel. John chapter 3, they are regenerate. John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. They receive Christ. They believe on him. They are made the sons of God. John 3, verses 3 to 8, regeneration. John 6, 37 to 45, they come to Christ. They are drawn to Christ by the Spirit, by the Father. They believe on Christ. They are received by Christ, and they receive Christ. Chapter 10, 25 to 30, they are the sheep of Christ. They listen to the voice of Christ. They come to Christ. Chapter 8, verse 47, they hear Christ. Colossians 1:13, they are translated out of the realm of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. These are the subjects, the members of Christ's kingdom. They are sinners who have been regenerated and brought to faith and repentance, trusting Christ, hearing Christ, listening to Christ, repenting of their sins, relying upon Christ, receiving him as Redeemer, Lord, and King. They're no longer in the world. Oh, they're in the world, but they don't belong to it. They're in Christ and in his kingdom. And that kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And as Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of prayer, preaching, discipline, faith. These are the weapons. These are the means. How this is forgotten today with politics, war, magistrates, state power. The best illustration I can give, I think, is, say, Acts chapter 4, verse 23. When the early church was being attacked by the state and by religion. It always is being attacked by the state and by religion, as Christ is here in this passage. He's subject, humiliated to the power, by the power of Rome and Judaism. And so were his disciples, the apostles, the church, in Acts chapter 4. And what do? They prayed to God, and he shook the heavens. They prayed to him. They didn't go fighting and struggling with weapons of this warfare. They didn't petition parliament. They didn't call upon magistrates. They prayed to God, and the place was shaken. That's the lesson for us, brother and sister. Conquering kings their titles take by the victims which they take and make, yes. But Jesus conquers by his Spirit. These are mighty lessons, mighty principles. Daniel chapter 2 is very clear. Daniel chapter 2, the little stone destroys the great image of the world's power and becomes the mountain. It's all prophesied there, and Christ is standing here and declaring it. The apostolic scriptures will speak of it. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12, there is the Spirit of the world, and there is the Spirit of Christ. And we, brother and sister, are subjects of Christ in the spiritual kingdom. Unbeliever, I have a word for you. Christ is witnessing here the great and good confession about his person, his office, and his kingdom. As you look at this chapter, you see him being humiliated, an abject victim. You see an object of scorn here. Yes, I know that's true. But you also see, if you will have the eyes of faith to see, his person, God Emmanuel, the incarnate God, You see him in his office as king. And you see him standing here, speaking of his kingdom. And it's all about truth, isn't it? As he says in verse 37, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. As he said in chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believers are in the way of Christ. They have the truth of Christ. They have the life of Christ. Unbeliever, you're lost. You're out of the way. You're believing lies. Christ is the truth. And you are dead, for he is the life. And after this life, unless things change, unless you are brought to Christ, it will be eternal death. That's what I see here. Christ, once again, offering himself to you. It's recorded in Scripture. Receive him as Emmanuel, God, in flesh. Receive him as your king. Enter his kingdom. Bow before him. Trust him as your Savior. Repent of your sins. And look to him for everlasting salvation. Become one of his. And believer, this is Christ's good confession. Let us make it ourselves. Let us witness for Christ. Let us speak for Christ. And testify for Christ. Let me close with this hymn, translated by Catherine Winkworth, by Gerhard Terschelling. Conquering Prince and Lord of Glory, Majesty enthroned in light, all the heavens are bowed before thee, far beyond them spreads thy might. Shall not I fall at thy feet, and my heart with rapture beat, now thy glory is displayed, thine ere yet the worlds were made. As I watch thee far ascending to the right hand of the throne, see the host before thee bending, praising thee in sweetest tone. Shall not I too at thy feet hear the angels strain repeat, and rejoice that heaven doth ring with the triumph of my King? Power and spirit are o'erflowing, on me also be they poured, every hindrance overthrowing, make thy foes thy footstool, Lord. Yea, let earth's remotest end to thy righteous sceptre bend, make thy way before thee plain, all hearts and spirits reign. Lo, thy presence now is filling all thy church in every place. Fill my heart too. Make me willing in this season of thy grace. Come, thou King of glory, come. Deign to make my heart thy home. There abide and rule alone, as upon thy heavenly throne. As Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me.